Hey, everybody, and welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 28, in a series of inane ramblings that we've been doing here. So, it's the day before Thanksgiving. I'll try to get this up on Thanksgiving, so I know you have nothing better to do tomorrow than to listen to us ramble, so hey. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics, and going to my left,
Donnie.
Adam Russell.
Sean Sisson.
Ryan Sargent.
Matt Lytle.
And calling in from Cleveland,
Nick Borelli.
Oh, I thought it was at Nick Borelli.
It is, on Twitter.
On Twitter.
See how I did that?
I like that. That was good.
Made you do it.
Okay, so we hopefully I'll be able to stay the whole time this time. Last time we finished up previews, so now I just want to go over some of the books that we've been liking or not liking, because I've been disappointed by a lot, and it actually kind of surprised me. But I've liked a lot that surprised me as well. And I also want to talk about some of the recent news that we've gotten out of Marvel and DC, specifically Marvel, some of the cancellations and plannings for February, and then also some of the DC stuff that's coming up in February that I kind of like. So why don't we start on some of the books that we've liked recently? Anybody want to jump in?
Batman?
Yep.
I mean, I always talk about Scott Snyder's Batman, but the first issue I really liked. Second issue I was like, okay. Like, I knew he was going somewhere, but it seemed like the second issue was just this massive fight scene, which I was fine with. But this past third issue that just came out this month was fantastic. Just absolutely amazing. Just more of Snyder doing his history stuff and getting into all those weird, creepy...
There's little things right in front of you that you... Yeah.
Yeah, and that whole Court of Owls thing is just weird.
Those pictures were creepy.
Yeah.
But in creepy, but adapting a children's nursery rhyme that had been apparently forever, you know, just the way he's doing that.
Right.
It's very reminiscent of the way Peter Straub writes, who's one of my favorite writers. Mm-hmm. And he likes to incorporate the layers of the past, tying in with the present, stuff like that.
And all the superstitions, too, that they have, like... 13th floor.
Yeah.
Which I just love that.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I like his weird villains that he comes up with. You know, he has Batman fighting those Ukrainian mobsters or whatever.
Yeah.
And their enforcers take a year-long vow of silence, so they have this big metal thing welded to their mouth so they can't talk for a year.
But I have to ask this question.
Yeah.
If it's welded to their mouth, how do they eat?
There's a hole.
There
wasn't a hole. Mm-hmm. There was a hole we could talk.
I didn't notice a hole.
I didn't see it. Did anybody else see a hole? I didn't see a hole.
I didn't see one, but I was assuming it was intravenous.
Is this something you would focus on?
Might be.
Well, my two questions were, how do they breathe and how do they eat?
There is, in fact, a hole in the mouth.
Well, that's not big enough to... That's like a breath hole. Like, how do you get food through that? It's like shoving it up his nose.
Just straw in there.
Yeah, maybe he's just doing coke.
Pureed everything. Right.
He's going to snort some coke.
I'm an evil Ukrainian monster, mashed potatoes.
that's been good. I really like that book.
It's a good book. I'm liking
it.
I cannot wait to see. I hope he writes this for a really long time. You know, I mean, he got a short amount of time on Detective, but I think that's only because of the relaunch. So.
Yeah, and I'll say I wish they'd go back to Jock or Francisco Francavilla, because Capullo's art's passable. I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But I just think... Francavilla's art style just fits his storytelling.
It does.
Much better. I just think it's a...
Now, I like Capullo. I mean, this is kind of my first introduction to Capullo. I never read any of the Capullo Spawn or anything like that. So it kind of reminds me of, like, Rick Bruchette or any of the people who kind of worked on the 90s animated series Batman comic books. And they did a little bit of the mainstream stuff, too.
Yeah. It's not
like
bad.
It.
It's just, I think, Francavilla...
Francavilla.
Francavilla's art style just fits.
It's
just like it's like a hand in a glove when you put Snyder and him together. It's just perfect art.
Well, I think, but he was great with Jock too. That was fantastic.
Yeah, but Jock has a darker style too.
Like, yeah,
very jaggy.
Capullo's art's just there. I like Nightwing.
I thought Nightwing was good.
Other than trying to figure out how Dick was like 5 years old and Robin.
Yeah,
and
don't worry about that. Just move beyond.
If you ignore that.
I'm sorry, what, Nick?
It hurts my brain so much.
I think they just pricked an arbitrary 5 years just because if they went back 10 years for Justice League, that would put everybody back in their 30s and 40s, so they're trying to make everybody younger.
So, yeah, but did you see how old he was at Haley's circus? He was a teenager.
Right.
Yeah, that's. I'm sick of the Morrison thing. It's a comic book. Don't think too much about it. Just enjoy it.
That said, it does define Dick Grayson. If he was older when his parents died, it's a different take that actually sort of fits the character almost better, because it would explain the difference between Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne further, that he was had that much more time with his parents and that he had matured that much more. So it would explain that he's not such a crazy lunatic, you know, like an eight-year-old who sees it versus a 15-year-old that sees it.
You mean like Damien?
Yeah, well, Damien's a special case. He's
he's special, all right.
He's been murdering, you know, since he was like five, yeah. So. But no, I kind of, like, the more I thought about it, because I got hung up on that, because that's the kind of stuff I get hung up on, I thought about it, and I'm like, you know what, I kind of like the idea that Dick Grayson is a little bit more, you know, was a little bit older, so he could handle what happened a little bit better, and it explains maybe what makes him different than Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I'll switch gears a little bit. Sadly, I've been loving Black Panther, and it's sad because it got canceled. And as far as I've heard from David Liss on Twitter, he doesn't have anything else planned in the comics arena. But I thought his run on Black Panther was phenomenal.
The book had a problem from the beginning by taking over Daredevil. You didn't capture those readers, because the people that were reading Daredevil weren't necessarily going to read a Black Panther. And so it had no focus and no message. It was spinning out of Shadowland, which didn't do well.
Big fail.
Yeah. So it kind of stumbled and never really caught any ground, where I know Black Panther series as a whole haven't done well, but this one it was a really obscure message.
But I mean, it was very gritty and crime, like early Brubaker.
But not enough people tried it, yeah. And there wasn't really a lot of publicity.
So pick up the trades when they come out. The first one's out, I think.
Yeah,
you can get that at Pittsburgh Comics.
Yep.
.com.
At PGH Comics.
On Twitter.
And just to swing that too, going back to another book that I think has been great is Daredevil. Now, I have a vast bias that I've loved Daredevil. It's one of the few books I have a full run of, especially old Silver Age stuff. And I just think Wade has really just been crushing that, and the art team has been fantastic. I'm a little concerned only because they're changing up the artists coming up, and I don't know who they are or what they look like. So
who is it?
Cafu.
Oh.
And I don't know.
Didn't he do Losers?
Well, you know, no, that was Jock.
He did the Captain Atom backup in Superman during World of New Krypton, and he also did Thunder Agents, I think.
Oh, okay, Thunder Agents. That'll work.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Okay.
He's doing something for DC right now.
I think it's Cafu.
Yeah,
or maybe it's not Cafu.
Is it Bit?
It's some it's some little name like that, though.
Bat?
Oh, well. No, I wouldn't know that.
But I agree.
I think Daredevil is just, the story's been great. I love the art, but Marcos Martin is one of my top guys, and Paulo Rivera looks very much like him. So.
And Lieber Mayo variant covers coming soon.
That's one time with the renumbering. Actually, I never bought it beforehand.
Yeah.
I picked it up when they renumbered it and brought it back. And I actually like it now.
Yeah.
I never bought him before.
I still don't like Happy Go Lucky Daredevil, but the book is good.
Yeah, I mean, it was a step back when he was hitting on girls at the bar. I just remember going, "This just no." But I mean, Happy Go Lucky. I mean, that's what Daredevil used to be. He was always, you know, he was making quips when he was fighting, and then it wasn't until Bendis decided, "Hey, let's make his life completely miserable."
Didn't Frank Miller make him miserable?
Yes, but he'd come back from it, and he wasn't always miserable.
He made him insane.
Yes.
He didn't make him miserable as much as he was an absolute crazy person.
Yes.
I like my grumpy characters.
But it can't be grumpy all the time. But no, I think it's been very light. I think it's been fun.
Not even Bruce Wayne is grumpy all the time.
That's right.
Yeah, he's brooding all the time.
You didn't read Dark Knight, but he's on a date and he's smiling. He's happy.
That's a fact.
Okay, fair enough.
It's an LMD.
Another one, I like the last New Avengers. Now, I didn't read the two previous to it, so I don't know if that helps. So I don't know how Osborn broke out, and the other one I didn't care for. I just flipped through it. But the new one, I like that they're incorporating the Secret Warriors, a book that I really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
And incorporating those characters into it. No, but the bad guys more.
Yeah.
The bad guys are a lot of the new the Dark Avengers.
Kind of.
Yeah.
The Hydra AIM hammer.
But that segues into a book that really disappointed me, which was The Last Avengers. Didn't like the art,
no.
The story. I mean,
you didn't like Acuna's art on that?
I didn't like the coloring. Not so much the art.
Yeah.
The coloring, I felt, was done. It looked like it was done with markers,
you
and it was
that,
very distracting.
I don't like the coloring on Captain Atom. I like the art. Obviously, I'm a big Freddie Williams fan, but the coloring just looks like.
It's
Okay. Like, some little kid puked pastel paint on the page. Like,
but I didn't like how the Vision came back as Tony Stark was tinkering and hit the right button.
That was lazy.
The Hulk on the last few pages was going from 10 feet tall to 5 feet tall to 8 feet tall. Every page he was a different size, which was... or every panel that. On a two-page spread. Each panel, at one point, they're looking up at him, then they're looking eye to eye. It was very... That was distracting.
Don't you think
the end was
just Tony being underselling his skills a little bit?
Yeah, but here's a character that's been gone since Avengers Disassembled.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, his grand return was, oh yeah, I had him in the basement, and I've been...
It was really lazy.
Yeah, that was poor.
I read it as Tony just underselling his talent whatever.
But he had time to do that. I mean, he lost his brain and restarted in between that time.
Lost his company, lost all his money, yet suddenly has enough money to rebuild Avengers Mansion.
It's just lazy. It's like, let's just bring the Vision back. How? He's just back. Okay, fine.
Oh, and he's on the sauce again, man. He's drinking.
That must help him build the Vision.
Yeah. Him and Splitlip go to an AA meeting in Iron Man this week.
Well,
it's
hilarious. Not everybody's read that yet. But also, then the end, I don't understand how Norman Osborn can be out and just show up. Oh, I didn't get a trial. Well, no, you caused siege. You caused all this death and destruction.
Yeah, you can't just go walk
the first
around.
World Guantanamo Bay. You don't talk about Guantanamo Bay.
I just found that hokey. So I'm not super
excited.
Yeah, I agree.
That was kind of...
My other problem with Avengers is the covers don't match up with the books, and it's been going on for a while. We had a couple issues ago was the Hawkeye holding Spider-Woman on the cover, yet nothing, there was no reference at all inside. Last issue was Cap picking the team on the cover, where that actually happened on this issue. So it's just, get them synced up. It can't be that hard.
So speaking of
Hawkeye.
The other
thing is, did you read this? Did you think that Wolverine and Spider-Man are on this team or aren't on this team?
I think they're off the team.
Yeah, I think they're off.
I think they're off, too.
I think
but Spider-Man's on the cover.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people on the cover that weren't on the in the lineup when they were having the press conference.
Yeah, Black Panther was on the cover.
Black Panther's
Storm's
on the
team, but not in the cover. Spider-Man's not, and Wolverine are on the cover, but
Thor's
not.
Thor's dead.
Team.
Thor doesn't exist.
No, I didn't say Thor.
I said Thor.
Storm should be on the cover. Spider-Man and Wolverine shouldn't be, and yet.
But I have a problem with Storm being on the team. Only they've focused that she is on the San Francisco-based X team.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's Weather Witch. She can.
But now she's on the Avengers that are a New York-based team. You know, how does that just doesn't work? Normally, it's not. You know, you can just go, okay, yeah, they're on the team. But this one, where they're so geographically represented,
it's 2,500 miles.
Yeah, Spider-Man being on the Fantastic Four and the Avengers, fine. They're a few blocks away.
Right. Yeah. That one just kind of jumped out at me as
a
bad choice.
I mean, she can make that Quinjet.
What about
Ms.
Marvel? Was she in the book? She was on the cover.
I think she was just there because they're all shacked up in Avengers Mansion together. I think she's still in New Avengers.
I see.
That, at least that's my working theory. But so here's my problem right now. Is Hawkeye like the main character in Avengers?
Hawkeye's the main Marvel character right now because
like
he has two minis going right now.
He's going to be in Secret Avengers.
Yeah.
Oh, he's, okay.
He's the leader of Secret Avengers.
Yeah,
and he's a teacher at Avengers Academy now.
But we've just had miniseries after miniseries after mini with him.
Right?
I just don't
know. It's
in California.
LA.
It's in L.A.
Well, I understand this is the fourth. This Avengers solo is his fourth in a row.
But you know why, though, right?
Well, they don't pick up his normal regular monthly title.
Yeah, it just...
Maybe they're trying to get people to know who he is before Avengers comes out.
That's it. He's the only one that doesn't have a book in the movie.
Yeah.
What's everybody's thoughts on the new Dark Avengers lineup?
I like it.
I like it. Yeah.
I do too.
I just, like I said, I just don't get Norman showing up out in public at the end. That didn't make sense.
Well, the only thing on the Dark Avengers lineup, though, that I really think is overused is Venom. Them using that crazy pill that turns them into Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's getting old.
I don't really understand that.
Yeah, they've used that at least two times now.
Yeah, but there was some pointing to that Osborn miniseries, which was amazing.
Yes,
and that
does.
Character came out of that.
Yeah.
But my favorite team member is the Gorgon.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Now, he's going to be Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He
is tough.
Yes.
Osborn trade available.
Well, he killed Phobos.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's
sorry,
right. The Osborn trade by Kelly Sue DeConnick is available at Pittsburgh Comics. And I loved it as well as Nick.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else read it. But
it was so creepy.
Yeah, and I think was that Emma Rios art?
Cool. Sorry?
Was that Emma Rios art?
Yeah. It was dark. I mean, that art was, like, really, like, it made you feel, like, claustrophobic.
Yeah. Speaking of books we don't like, Justice League of America.
Ugh.
So slow. Thank God there's only, like, 6 characters, or we'd be 3 years in the telling of origin.
I thought it was getting there this time.
It's getting, like, a lot happened, but I want more to happen for this being such the big book that they're promoting.
I want a story. I'm tired of, like, oh, this is how we met. I can go read Mark Waid's Year One. That was a great telling of how they met. I can go read...
Something that's bugging me is Geoff Johns' portrayal of Wonder Woman in the first issue, because I feel like that's the easy... Or not the first issue, I'm sorry, the third issue. That's, like, the easy Wonder Woman portrayal to me. Of just her walking around being like, oh, what's ice cream? Mayhap, I will try a scoop.
Yeah.
Sir.
You know, she's a fish out of water until you get to the last page.
And then you have the fish out of water.
Yeah, and, like, sticking her sword out. Like,
but don't you think Aquaman's jewelry?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and he doesn't have it in the current book, so.
What's that?
Aquaman jewelry. Although there was a neat throwaway line in the new Aquaman. Overall, I didn't like that the issue was moving too slow. Mm. There was a neat little throwaway line in that book that I really liked. Right. Where, just not to give everything away, but he meets an old character that he knew before, and he sees him with his trident, and he's going, you still have that. He's going to come back for that, you know. And you're just like, oh, wait That's a minute. Awesome. Okay. Just that was a really neat, but it still had wank, which... bothered me.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
Wait, whose trident does he have?
You don't know.
We'll find out.
It was just a little throwaway line that you'll find out later.
Maybe
but
it's the Spear of Destiny.
I don't think so.
I like what Aquaman says at the end, though. It does paint him, again, as this tough guy, which he needs to be.
Yeah.
So who's in charge here? I vote me. That's awesome.
Yeah. I think that's... I don't know. I want more characterization from Justice League than I'm getting right now, though, because Superman's like, I'm going to hit something. Yeah. Punch.
Yeah.
Batman's like, you should do what I say.
And everybody else is like, he doesn't have any powers.
Right, yeah. And they keep harping on that. It's like, yeah.
That's if I were Batman, I'd be like, I think everybody knows now. Thanks.
Yeah, it's not an original look, and I was kind of expecting something more from that team.
Yeah.
I mean, the art's great, and I'm not typically a Jim Lee fan, but I like it.
I love it.
And
those parademons look so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but now to take it where you were Wonder Woman being mischaracterized, I thought the Wonder Woman book was fantastic. The first one didn't do it for me.
Agreed.
There just wasn't enough there. Too many panels, no words. You didn't quite know what was going on. Two, I thought was really good, and this one was fantastic. And it's neat because now you're at issue 3, and that was pretty much just the introduction. And now the story's going to go from here, which I like how they use that to set everything up.
But it's been moving enough.
Oh, it's been moving, absolutely. But now I thought that issue was fantastic.
But to be honest, that first issue, we could throw away. But, I mean, other than explaining why that non-Amazonian blonde girl's on the island.
Right.
Which I assume is going to be important later in the run.
Right. But it hasn't really even been addressed in this last issue. She said something and everybody kind of looked at her like, why are you talking?
Yeah, who are you?
But I thought that one I thought was fantastic.
Dead Man's continuing to be good, I think.
It is. Maybe I'm reading too many books, but I read that one, and at the beginning I had no idea what was going on because I did not remember, I guess, the end of the previous issue. And I just, and sadly, I'm home, and I don't keep all the books at home, so I didn't have number 2 to refer back to.
You live 7 minutes away. Why don't you just run in and
get
it?
Driving back. So that confused the heck out of me.
Speaking of that book, I will be dropping it after the Dead Man arc is over because I could care less about the Andadio and Challengers of the Unknown.
Oh, Challengers are good. Did you read the original, the Brave and the Bold that they did?
Yep.
The first arc was Challengers. That was good. I like that a lot.
But it's Andadio writing it.
He's writing OMAC?
With Keith Giffen.
Yeah, but he's writing Challengers of the Unknown with Jerry Ordway.
Yeah, it has potential.
Maybe I'll read it.
You have old Challengers books, right, Colin?
What?
You have old Challengers books, right?
I have them. I haven't read a lot, although I loved Howard Chaykin's take on it.
Yeah, I always liked Challengers. I have never got their first appearance. I have Challengers 1, and I have a lot of books from that era, and it was just like very much the Fantastic Four without power.
Right.
And does anybody else think Green Arrow as Steve Jobs with a superhero?
You know, I haven't read three yet. No, I didn't like the first one, I didn't like the second one, and now I've just kind of moved on.
It's seriously, he's Steve Jobs with an alter ego. Yeah. And it's,
my problem is it's Green Arrow, but it could also be the Blue Swan, or, you know.
Well, and they promised Black Canary at the end of number two. She is not in three. Mm.
What? Let's just because he's got a Q-pod and a Q-phone and a Q-pad doesn't mean that it's Apple.
Does he have a Q-bow?
Does the Q-pad... Yeah. Never mind.
But at one point, he didn't have the bow. I remember in 2, and then all of a sudden, they turned and he had the bow. It's like, magic bow is cool.
Yeah, it's an expanding bow.
Yeah.
I really want to like...
There's an app for
Green Arrow. Yeah. I really want to like Green Arrow, and I say that every time I get done reading every Green Arrow comic book I've ever read, I think.
See, where it's weird, because I have the whole Grell run, and I loved it dearly.
Good. Yeah.
But you love Mike Grell, too.
I do, but partially because of that run, you know, so...
Do you guys like the Kevin Smith run?
I did.
It was a little confusing, but yeah.
I liked that, and then the Meltzer run after it was even better.
Yeah, I just and remember... So what was it? Stanley and his monster. I just remember going, what? Another book that has really changed for me is Dark Knight. The first one I thought was horrible. And then second one, I went, okay, I like that. And then the third one that just came out today, I liked a lot. So that one's grown on me. And maybe it's Jenkins coming in has made some changes or added something to it.
Once you get over One Face.
I don't know if I can get over
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. It's really One hard. Face isn't... Well, I mean, he's in number two, but not as... He never makes that comment again. Yeah, that was that was an awkward line of dialogue, yes.
But Every Batman book seems to be taking a different... take on Batman, though. So what is this Batman book bringing that, like, Batman, Robin, the detective, and...
David Finch's name?
Well, yeah, but I mean, would you call this, like, the widescreen-style Batman book, or would you call this the introspective book?
Yeah,
or...
I mean, it doesn't have a place where you have Batman and Robin as Damian, Batman's the core. I don't know if it has a place in that, but it's a fun story.
Okay.
I mean, I'm reading it more about to figure out who this White Rabbit chick is, to be honest. That's really my motivation at this point.
I bet she's the girl he met in the first issue.
No, but they address that in this issue.
Really?
Yes. Mm. Now, another one that's grown on me is Grifter, who I had no knowledge of beforehand. I know Joe was very excited. I read the first one. I'm like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
I read the second one and went, this is horrible. I don't know why I read the third one. And the third one had one thing that changed my whole view, and I actually told DC when they called me this week, was they had the little blurb in it saying Grifter, and then gave his little backstory. You know, like they've always had, you know, every Marvel comic has Fantastic Four bombarded by cosmic rays, you know, became, and it had that, and it explained...
Not every book, just Fantastic Four.
Right, well, no, but even Spider-Man, I mean, I remember in the old days, it was always the very top, you know, half
DC's
inch.
DC's been having that in most of their books.
But it wasn't in the first two.
It wasn't,
No, it wasn't in the first two.
A lot of the books, they'll say, like, Green Lantern, Space Cop, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, but in this one, it was needed because I didn't know who the character was. I read it in this one, it explained... His backstory explained the mask.
Right.
And all of a sudden it addresses, and all of a sudden the whole book came together with number three.
Now, is it just summarizing the two issues of this new continuity?
No, no, it's just summarizing him. It's literally two sentences.
But that's what I mean. I mean, like, how much did they explain?
Well, no, it said former, you know, Medal of Honor winner became a mercenary, became hunted by these aliens.
Right.
But only his mask protects him.
That sounds like it does a better job of characterizing him than the first issue did.
Absolutely. It does. Yeah, no, it absolutely did. And I remember I read that and I went, oh, and then it addresses it like he's in a showdown with a guy and the guy's like, take off that mask. And he's like, the mask is the only thing keeping us alive. And it's like, okay, now I understand this mask that you didn't explain at all in the first two issues.
I was going to say, yeah, he just picked it up and was like, I'm going to wear this now.
Yeah, no, okay, it's not. And so now I'm on board for that book because I'm intrigued now.
Interesting.
But then a change pace, Green Lantern Corps. Horrible. That last issue was horrible, and I don't know if I'm going to keep reading it.
I dropped it after number one.
I dropped it after Blackest Night.
Green Lantern Corps. I gave number one a shot.
No, I bought it again once the War of the Green Lanterns came back around. Yeah. After that, I was done again.
But this, everybody was really excited about it, but it just crapped.
To be perfectly honest, since the New 52 started, because I've been a big Green Lantern fan and following all the books for a while, I haven't been impressed with any of them.
Yeah, I like what they're doing with Green Lantern just because it's different. It's got an interesting twist on it.
Yeah, that one's getting...
Guardians is interesting.
Green Lantern's close to being dropped for me just because I'm not a cosmic fan, but I like New Guardians. Like, that story's interesting to me. Like, what's going on with all the rings? Why is this going on? Yeah. And, yeah.
But the end of Core was the beginning where they just changed people, but they were still in the exact same situation. I'm like, and it was a different artist. I'm like, you couldn't have, this is a marking time book is all this did.
Is that Tomasi?
Yeah.
He's slow to develop plots, I think.
I don't know. That one, that was horrible.
Previously on on Green Lantern Court was awesome.
It was good.
It was the better of the two books.
Yeah, but I thought Jeff Johns was, like, scripting, not scripting, but setting the plot for those books at that time.
Maybe that.
I think he set the overarching plot for where the line was going.
Yeah, but not the specifics.
Because he had some great characters, but, like, you know, the first issue of this new Green Lantern Corps, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is not going to go anywhere until Jeff Johns drops another big continuity bomb and we have another event, which they mentioned something about, I forget where I read it, someone online, some DC solicit said, you know, well, we're going to build up to the next big Green Lantern event, and I was just like, because I feel like that's what they're doing. Like, they're trying to make the Green Lantern franchise do a really nice butterfly through the comic pool, and it's just crashing and going deeper into the water.
But that's John's M.O. That's John's M.O. on everything. Like,
I know it is, but he's only writing Green Lantern Corps. He's not writing... Or he's not only writing Green Lantern. He's not writing Green
Lantern. He has another position at DC, though, you realize, right?
He's chief creative officer or whatever. I mean, he's the equivalent of a Marvel architect.
But it gets in the way of stuff I like.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
No, I know.
It's just, I think he has more influence on that. I think he has more influence on all the books than we expect.
Oh, no, I agree.
See, that's where I am with New Guardians. Nothing against the story or anything. I need a break from the multicolored cores.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's why I dropped this in the first place,
Yeah, I was really sick of
the animated series.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I have not been.
Which I like, but I like the Care Bear aspect of Green Lantern.
Yeah, and to be honest, I thought I was going to hate it because of the multi-lanterns, but the fact that he has all the rings made me interested. Yeah.
See, because it's doing something that I've been waiting for them to do for a long time, they finally got around to doing, and I like Kyle better than the other lanterns anyway, so that's why I'm following New Guardians.
Yeah. I haven't read the new one yet either, so to see what that's all about.
Okay.
Deathstroke has been fun.
I read the first one, I just didn't... I just got overwhelmed.
I think it's starting to repeat.
Dude, he's running around stabbing people with a sword. I mean, like, what... I mean, I could read that over and over again. I mean, it's entertaining.
You like that, but you won't read a Western. Okay.
I won't read a Western with crappy art.
No swords in Westerns.
True. Yeah, I agree with you on that, Matt. The art is what kills me in that book.
And the story just, like I said last week, it just feels so forced. And reading it today... Like, I tried to skim it today to see if I'd like it and keep going with it.
The first issue of All-Star Western took me completely by surprise. I loved it. The second issue, and this is just my opinion on it, was really paint by the numbers. It just seemed to follow a formula, and that's what it's going to stick to and not deviate from at all.
And it felt forced. It really does. It just, it does. All it the references forced. To Gotham, and that feels forced. I know they're trying to set that scene, but... I don't know. And I don't know. Maybe this is only going to be six issues in Gotham, and then they're going to be, you know, in
probably.
Metropolis.
Yeah, it's just setting up. Well,
yeah,
I don't know.
What book was that in? Something last week said that Metropolis was only 75 miles or something from Gotham. I don't remember what book.
That's always been like that.
Really? They're that close?
Yeah, they're real close.
From what I understand, I don't know where I'm getting
this.
They're
both New York.
Are they? Oh, well... I thought that was always the idea of their creation, but I thought, like, geographically, Metropolis was more around, like, Maryland, Baltimore, and Gotham was more around New Jersey.
It's somewhere close, yeah, but the idea is that they're on either side of New York.
So okay. So where exactly is Smallville?
Kansas.
That's what screws it up.
Yeah, that's the...
Well, it screws it up only from the television shows, from the comics.
Because
they never had it, like...
play it like it's right next door to Metropolis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because you can drive there in less than a day.
Yeah, they would do a round trip from Smallville to Metropolis and back in a day.
Yeah.
Oh,
I got an interview. Whoop. Yeah, we're back.
Ignore that one.
You don't remember when he got an interview?
Okay.
Did you guys see that? Is anybody going to buy that? Nick, I know you are.
I don't know what it is, but yes.
The complete set of Smallville on Blu-ray?
I don't know if I'm going to buy it,
because I have every season.
You're not going to buy the collector's set,
I actually
Nick?
Stopped watching it.
I don't do that a lot. Like, I usually buy every season, like, the day they come out.
Yeah, but you always buy, like, singles, trades, hardcovers. I figured you might buy this in multiple formats.
I don't... comics, sometimes I do that, you know... DVDs, I don't know. I don't have a lot of complete series. It's for that same reason. I go to Best Buy religiously every Tuesday and pick up the new stuff.
Do they know you by name?
No, I've been, you know, when I originally lived in Erie, right when DVDs were coming out, like, big time, and I was having back buy, like, everything. Way back when. That's when it was crazy. But I, you know, you can get the silver Best Buy membership.
Yeah.
I'm good for 3 years. So, I'm good there. I usually get, there's not that many times I go there that I don't have to redeem something. But I bought 4 iPads and 3 computers on it already this year.
You would?
Wow.
Yeah.
What the heck did you buy 4 iPads for?
For the business. We're like Mac crazy.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, 2 of them were mine over the year. I got the iPad 1 and then the iPad 2.
Good job, Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Yeah. That's, you know, not to deviate too far, but my favorite book of the week was Avengers Academy, actually. And even if it wasn't, I would say it was, because I really want this book to be big, and I want people to read it, because it's on the chopping block.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Well, we'll get to the chopping block part, but yeah. I can tell you that the book itself was really good, because I think it was the first issue where they really defined sort of where this book plays into the Marvel – it grounded it a little bit more in the Marvel Universe, and it wasn't just these core characters. It had a lot of interaction between Magneto and Quicksilver – which I think is the first time those two have spent a significant portion of time together since the House of M.
Yeah, I love that interaction. I thought that was awesome.
They got a lot of stuff done. I mean, that whole and it escapes me now with that miniseries or that whole event thing was called where he had the mists and he really screwed up.
It was something with the Inhumans.
Yeah, but that all came to light for the first time, and he's been lying to the Avengers. He was even in the Mighty, or what was Pym's Avengers book back in the day?
The Mighty Avengers?
Mighty Avengers, yeah. I mean, it was just a lot of continuity, which, you know, makes me like a book. But it was, but as far as the series itself, I mean, I don't know. Did you guys ever read that Sentinel comic that came out? It was like a kid's book where there was a kid that controlled the Sentinel.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I've never read it.
I read it.
That kid's in this book, and, like, the X-Men show up, and they just see a kid with a Sentinel, and they're just like, why do you have a Sentinel, you know?
Yeah, awesome. What do you think about the new characters they're introducing in that book?
I really think that if this can be to the Avengers franchise what Teen Titans is to the, I guess if you can call it the Justice League franchise, I think it's got a chance. If you ground it in more Marvel continuity, then I think that, and, you know, bigger name characters, I think it's got an honest chance. But and I think you can keep those core characters from the first, I don't know what you want to call it, season or semester or whatever. Those characters were really interesting to me. So if this keeps them around, I'm all for it.
I like the characters that started out like Metal and Hazmat and Vale and them. But I don't think they're doing anything really to develop those characters very much.
And didn't Marvel already have that, though, with Young Avengers?
Avengers Initiative.
Well, I mean, even with Young Avengers, though, that was kind of their Teen Titans.
Yeah, but they weren't supervised. Like, this is more of a...
This is more structured.
Yeah, this is more like a school. This is more of Avengers Initiative.
Yeah, this is just the Avengers Initiative continuation. Yeah. I mean, it's not something different. It is that. It's just where it is now, post the most recent events. But Young Avengers is an interesting animal. I mean, that book would do, I think, really well if, for whatever reason, historically, Quesada kept it away from everybody else because he felt it was like an Alan Hinesburg baby.
But then it's in every event has a Young Avengers book tie-in.
Yeah,
right. And I think that's the only way they get him in there, because I think that he's always historically saved that book at the off chance that he would be able to write it. But I remember back in the day when the reason that he didn't write it is because he was spending so much time writing the OC. That's how long it's been.
Yeah.
Like the TV show?
Yeah.
He writes a lot of TV shows.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a television guy. And it's funny because I remember getting the Marvel Legend action figures for the Young Avengers, and that was like 6 or 7 years ago.
You know, the one thing, and I just completely blanked on what I was going to say. I think Fear Itself killed this book.
It didn't help it.
The Fear Itself tie-ins were so like, oh, look, we're going to throw kids into trouble again. Oh, wait, didn't that just happen in Schism?
Fear Itself hurt a lot of books.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Thunderbolts, I think, was hurt by it.
But especially, Thunderbolts was hurt by let's create a B team full of D list villains like Hyde and Troll and whoever.
Can you really name a book that Fear Itself helped?
No, but I'm just saying. But I think Fear Itself made people DC. That you know
Journey
you,
into Mystery,
DC, yeah.
Flashpoint. Yeah,
you weren't gonna pick it up. Yeah, I think in the fact that Fear Itself was just a little too long, where it hijacked these books for 5 months.
It's just like, but this
the Young Avengers tie-in was so padded. I mean, the story they had to tell with that tie-in could have been done in at the most 2 issues, but it was like 4 or 5 issues.
Oh look, I killed a Nazi robot. Oh, I feel sad. Oh, let's be emo for 3 issues.
And I think the biggest book.
I can't wait till that trade comes out.
The biggest book they killed though was Secret Avengers. I think. I thought it was doing great, and then all of a sudden, Fear Itself. And
the
then
mutant
that
mysteriously survived M Day that could make statues come to life.
Well, and you also had the big new. You know, the point one was great. It was Nick Spencer's launching pad. And all of a sudden, he's off it, and you know Warren Ellis is great, but these one shots, they're not leading to anything.
To me, it feels like they had some contractual obligation to make Ellis write something. Yeah. And instead of letting him write something where he had to keep continuity, which would take him 3 years, they just said, write a bunch of one-shots and throw it out there.
Yeah. Could be.
I mean, that second one he did was...
Team?
What did you say?
That said, I'm excited for... I mean, now that I think he finally doesn't have anything tying him down, he doesn't have a overarching series messing with him, the new team that he has looks really good.
Yeah, it does.
Well, my only concern is
a logical team for that kind of book.
Yeah. Well, I thought the idea was it was going to be like a rotating team based on whatever the need was for that particular story.
Yeah. So I think Remender's going to do good on it. My concern is the same one Colin has, is he's going to be writing 3 ongoing books.
Yeah.
And Remender and Timeliness don't go in the same sentence.
No. So that's very concerning, especially with probably his top book being probably the top Marvel book right now with X-Force.
And Venom.
I like Venom.
Can I?
Venom. Venom got derailed by Secret Avengers. I can't tell you how many
Spider
people
Island.
Or Spider Island. How many people have said after this, I'm
you
done
know
with
what,
Venom.
You know what hurt Venom was that stupid story where they're off with Kraven and the Fantastic Four.
I stopped reading it with that.
What is this? It was when they were trying to put the Fantastic Four with Spider Man. Or the Future Foundation with Spider-Man everywhere.
Yeah, I read one of those and stopped reading it, and then I read one of the Spider-Island tie-ins and went, this is just
horrible.
The whole
concept is cool.
Concept is great, but they're just the execution.
They've wasted, he has what was 20?
Isn't he done now?
He has, 20 uses of the suit.
Yeah.
Right? And he's got about 7 or 8 of them done, so...
He also had to keep it on for X amount of hours, and, it's been... He's had it for days. I think they just dropped that whole thing.
No, because they've shown the effects of the... symbiote bonding with him a little bit with when he keeps but
they put a bullet in his head if he doesn't do it.
Yeah, but they're wasting valuable missions in my mind with this stupid promote the FF and then that terrible art with Spider Island. Stories were the concept story was good, what was going on, but the execution just stunk.
Yeah.
That said, I really enjoyed the new Amazing Spider-Man because it felt like an old-school, fun Spider-Man issue.
I didn't read the new one yet.
Spider-Man all through Spider-Island was great. The new one, the one that came out last week,
The finale was a lot of stuff was referred to the minis, and if you hadn't read them, you were just completely... Captain America was involved?
I don't even know where that happened.
I read most of the miniseries. I don't know where Captain America turned into the Spider Queen or Spider King or whatever he was. And I read most of them.
Maybe it was in that Avengers one with Frogman that nobody read.
There was an Avengers one with Frogman? How did I
miss
that?
Yes. Spider Island Avengers.
Spider Island Avengers.
I
did read that.
Yeah.
What?
With Captain America showing up there and stuff, because
I just didn't understand.
It had been referred to in earlier issues.
Okay, I didn't remember.
Yeah,
I really didn't have a problem with that.
Okay.
It didn't bother me.
I just didn't remember.
Okay,
it happened.
For me, it did.
It didn't.
Yeah.
I think something like that, though, in one of these events, you should be able to read the event and know what's going on, though.
But that's
They referenced it.
Yeah, they referenced
Well, I think if that was such a big thing, though, they probably should have just had it in. The issue somewhere. They played it up a lot in the book.
I thought they talked about it in Spider Island. They didn't actually show it happening, but I think they referenced.
Yeah.
Because I remember
that was one of the weakest reveals of a big bad, manipulator when you're it's some obscure character.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah.
Did you see Dan Slott's tweets about the editorial discussions on cleavage of the Spider Queen? I was like, okay, that's
what those guys do all day. Talk about that.
Let's have this discussion instead of figuring out how to ship books in order.
What are you guys thinking about? Yeah, no. What are you guys thinking about Incredible Hulk so far?
I've actually really been enjoying it.
Okay. The story's great. That my problem is
there isn't enough. I read it and I just go, for a $3.99 book, there needs to be more.
I like it, but get Silvestri off and just put somebody on it. There was like 9 artists.
Well, that one had colorists. Had 3 pages of them fighting sharks. I'm like, okay.
The first issue I found very interesting. The second issue, the first half of it sort of drug a little bit.
Yeah.
But at the ending, I was like, oh, can't wait to read issue 3.
Right, right.
Yeah,
I found it just, uneven. Yeah. The lady being Von Doom, no relation, is getting old already.
I think it's funny. And
I find that to be funny.
See, I think it might be a decoy. I think it might be.
I just...
But I think I love the fact that she's in love with the Hulk. I think that's kind of because she says something in the last issue about like I don't remember what it was, but yeah. She alluded to being in love with the Hulk, and I was like, that's cool. And the whole scene with Betty and
that was good.
That was awesome.
That was cool.
But that art just sucked.
No, the last one because it was art by 8 different
people.
I don't
know if I'd want that if he wasn't doing it.
Well, he's done.
It's Silvestri.
I remember you saying that.
But there were 2 pencilers, assistants, and 6 inkers or something.
And
on that
a finisher.
Last book. Yeah. And a finisher. Yeah, it was like.
I realize he's sick and stuff, but it's like you couldn't even get into issue 2. You know, just why did we relaunch this book?
He just got sick. Like he was just in the ER like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
That book should have been finished 3 weeks ago. It had to be in print before
but
that.
But the big plus for me is this is the first time I've been interested in the Hulk.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think once they settle out the art, like once they get the art stable, it'll be a top tier book.
But it was funny. My biggest thing when people would ask, I'm like, I think it'd be a great $2.99 book, but I don't see the extra dollar in that one.
No, I can agree with that.
Yeah,
I want more.
I just want more. No, I agree with you completely.
To be honest with you, the $3.99 thing, it's been going on for so long now.
Yeah.
That it's sort of in the back of mind, and I don't even care about it anymore.
It was just something I remember the first one, and I was thinking, okay, let's read this, and it was just kind of like. It was over already. It was like,
but
just wasn't.
Do any of the DC books feel like $3.99 books to you? The ones that are?
All Star Western sure doesn't.
No.
Well, it had that backup story.
Okay, but I don't want backup stories.
Well, I know, but that's what they do.
If it has a backup story, then yes. Like,
it's not a relevant backup story.
Well, no,
it's
but
like,
it's a Western backup story in a Western book.
Story,
no,
it's
no,
going
it
to.
And see,
it's
going
to.
That's where I was going to make the distinction is that All Star Western, it has a backup story, and I might not care about it, but it's still more. Actual comic book content. Like, I'm paying for comic book content, not back matter. Like, when I bought Justice League now has all this random...
Yeah,
we're gonna make it look like a textbook. And like,
that was dumb.
But it's the oral history of the Justice League.
No, I know.
Care about.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is that, like, I...
Did you catch that, Nick?
I'm fine with because
I did.
I want to read comics. I don't
want to
read
book should have just
20
interviews.
Pages of comic and then 10 pages
an,
of...
A written oral history.
Yeah, something that I made up off the top of my mind because Jim Lee couldn't draw 5 more pages.
Yeah,
you know, like...
I haven't so much taken a glance at that. Or when they did it in the Avengers. It was...
What
are the other $3.99 books?
All-Star Western, Men of War, Justice League, and...
Batman? Flash?
No.
Isn't Detective Comics is getting a backup with number 5 in February? Is that...
Yeah, a lot of those books are going up to
Action.
Yeah.
Oh, Action, Justice League, All-Star Western, and Men of War. Those 4.
I'll say Men of War is the only one I find worth $3.99.
Oh, because you read it.
Well, I like the backup.
Because you read it.
No, that's my favorite.
I was really excited for that, but I'm getting more and more disappointed.
It's been my favorite book so far. My favorite surprise.
Yeah. That's the one that I'm actually thinking, like, okay, if I drop, like, this many more books, I'm going to start picking up Men of War again. So.
I don't think it's going to last, because apparently sales numbers are awful on it. But
I know Ivan Brandon.
That's something to talk about.
Is he? I'm not a huge Ivan Brandon fan. Like, he wrote that Viking book that I... did not like it at all. It was just called Viking. And it was one of those oversized Image books you don't like.
Oh, that. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like only because
of the shipping issues.
The shipping, yeah. They don't fit in the regular diamond box, so they ship with all the trades and they get crushed. The other one that I'm just wondering everybody else is feeling is the new Captain America. I just don't get it.
I don't get it.
Just, this is the book that you went and saw the movie, here's Captain America number 1, and it's just...
It completely derailed.
It's got the same feel to it as Captain America Reborn did. It's completely out of Brubaker's wheelhouse and what he's good at.
Yeah, I agree.
He didn't write here. He didn't write Cap Reborn, did he?
Yeah.
No, I did.
So yeah, just overread it. I read that last one, and I'm just reading it, going, "Wait, the crazy old guy was in an ambulance, and that made Captain America teleport." And I'm just like, "This is so un-Captain America."
It feels like
I watched the movie again last night, and then I read the book, and I was like, "Wow, I wish the same spirit of this, you know, was in that that book like it was in the first issue."
Yeah, the first issue I thought was good after reading the movie. When I read it before seeing the movie, I was very confused.
You
only
read
because
the movie? That's impressive.
Only because the funeral made no sense unless you had just seen the movie.
Right.
It feels to me like a Mark Waid book, poorly written.
Yeah.
Because it's just Brubaker is one of my favorite writers. Like, but this just isn't his.
A Brubaker Deodato book would just have you spasming on the floor.
Why not? We do something. Wait, we already saw that.
I know.
Anyway,
I just read the first two Brubaker trades. And I had the same reaction. I couldn't get into it. I mean, I like the World War II Cap and Bucky stuff.
You didn't like Red Menace?
No, I thought it was really boring. Like, I get where he's going. I get that, you know, spoilers, because this came out 5 years ago. I get that Lucan and Red Skull are going to have this weird, uneasy relationship, and obviously bad things are going to happen, and, you know, understandably, his daughter's going to have something to do with some hammers.
Yes.
Down the road. Ooh. And
for the foreseeable future.
I think the thing that disappointed me most is, you know, they build up all the Bucky coming back stuff, and then he was there for, like, a little bit and didn't say anything. And Cap was all focused on finding him, and then he found him for, like, 5 minutes, and then Bucky disappeared again. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really feel like reading another trade just to find out whether or not Bucky.
But see, that's what I like about Brubaker's writing.
Yeah.
He's got that slow burn to when something's actually revealed. It's like, wow, that's great.
No, yeah.
Brubaker's more about the journey than the finish.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just felt like the journey wasn't very interesting.
And I like that. I'm okay with the whole...
Yeah, I'm fine with stories like that, too. I just wasn't very interested in it, so...
You know, another book I really liked was Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Yes, I liked that last one a lot.
Did you really?
I love that last that last page. I thought that was...
Yeah, the last page was, like, heartbreaking.
Yes.
You're like, this guy,
he
hates himself.
Yes, his most cherished memory was watching a movie with Bruce Wayne. I thought that was...
And he gave it up.
Yeah, that I like that.
That was a pretty surreal book.
I mean, there was a lot of action in that book. It was, like, trippy and weird.
Yes.
I mean, it's really good. And I like the parallel of Jason Todd's, you know, story after he died to Bruce Wayne's, like, story of becoming, like, you know, a fighter and all that stuff. It's very interesting. Like, he shacked up with a bunch of, like, crazy monks, and Bruce ended up with some, you know, more, I guess, traditional ones. It's really interesting book, and it's definitely a Jason Todd book with a couple people along for the ride, which I'm fine with.
But I even like Roy Harper's memory. I thought that was very interesting.
Corey's memory was good, too,
I thought. Yeah, the first issue, I was, what the heck? The second one, I was intrigued because I like the mysterious, you know, monk. I found that interesting. This one, again, this is one I really liked.
But to be honest, we could have issues 2 and 3 without ever having number 1.
Yeah.
I still don't know how 1 ties into anything other than having them meet each other.
Right. The more I get the impression that the number 1s were rushed. And like, that's what the grifter kind of told me that. And now they're finding their groove. They're figuring out what they're supposed to be doing. And
that's
a lot of people won't give it 3 issues to find it. And that's fine. And that's on DC. That's their fault. But some of these are coming in. Like Resurrection Man, number 3. I'm like, this is really cool. I like this. I like where this is going.
The only one that I really jumped out at me that was different than that is Batman number 1. Because that book feels... like, very, very thought out all the way through.
Well, that could have been just his next story arc in Detective that he just repurposed for this. So.
Yeah, because Batman was the least rebooted,
other
than Green Lantern, maybe.
There were so many little references in that first issue to his Detective run. So.
Yeah, and Gates of Gotham.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so I think that one definitely had more planning. And probably the Green Lantern as well, because that was probably just going to be the next story arc in Green Lantern.
Well, yeah, because it was in the War of Green Lanterns where Sinestro...
Yeah. So I think that's why those two probably are more finished as far as that.
You could make the argument, though, that Snyder and
Even Green Lantern Corps, probably.
Like you said, like, it could have just been the next arc, so yeah. They had more time to prepare it.
And Morrison's probably been thinking about this action thing for a while, too.
Yeah.
How's the Legion book selling?
Eh,
I don't like.
Great.
I don't care
yeah,
about the Legion.
Neither of them are selling. I mean, they're selling about Legion numbers. None of them have really gotten any boost.
I'm excited
so
for them to pop up in Action Comics for 5 and 6. But
what do you guys think about the two DC miniseries? Oh.
I haven't read
them. Yeah, tried them.
Penguins.
Penguin and Huntress.
Penguin's awesome.
Forgetting Legion.
I really like that. That's now, I'm not a Legion like guy. I really like that first Legion Secret Origin.
Does it drag like his regular?
No. No, it was really good. But now we're waiting. I think number two must be next week.
Nick, what did you say about the Penguin?
That it's a really, it's like the most modern Penguin story I've read in a while.
It's really dark, too. I like
yeah.
it. Great. I'm trying to remember what he wrote for Marvel. Did
Who?
He write Moon Knight? Greg
Who?
Hurwitz? Hurwitz? I don't
know. Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, he wrote that.
Civil War, or like around that time.
Yeah. No, because that wasn't that Charlie Houston.
Hudson or Houston?
Houston.
Yeah, Houston was doing it. He may have done the Vengeance one. I don't know. I know
I thought
that
the Vengeance was Bendis.
No, Bendis is current.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah, Bendis never wrote them until just recently.
I haven't read the Penguin series, but I'm wondering if it's going to tie into Detective at all, because for, I think it's February, that issue of Detective has a Penguin backup drawn by Simon Kudransky,
okay.
who's doing the...
The Penguin thing is really dark, and it just tells you kind of a history of, like, why he is the way he is,
right.
And it's that layered storytelling we talked about, and it's really good.
Is Batman in it at all?
A little bit, but not... He's not a key figure.
Okay.
He's barely in it.
Yeah. The Huntress, I really like the first issue. The second issue was kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. We'll see where it goes.
Okay. Another one where, like... I keep going back to Grifter, but I decided to give Mr. Terrific another chance.
I'm sorry.
And I read all three. That's another one that found itself by the end of number three. And it was weird because they even changed artists. And I didn't like either artist. But
can't you just say thank you, Mr. Black Superhero?
They've moved on beyond that.
I
but,
don't care.
That one's actually kind of intriguing the way number two finished up, or number three.
Eric Wallace lost all my respect.
That's one that I think I might have to try picking up again, because I liked the first one a lot, but I sacrificed it to get other stuff that I thought I would like more, and I was proven wrong. So.
Yeah. Which one?
Red Hood. Red Hood.
Okay.
I didn't like after number two. I was never mind.
Did.
Like Teen Titans and Superboy, I'm not holding my interest at all on those. So,
I like Superboy, and I haven't read the third Teen Titans.
I like the concept. I just feel like it's kind of meh.
What title is flopping that
you
didn't expect to flop?
Superboy is gone.
Batgirl.
Batgirl.
Able to hold my interest the way the first issue did.
I wish that story and Teen Titans were in the same book. I think.
Yeah. I think so too.
Well, it's interesting that it's taking place at two different times.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting to me.
I think I always... The thing that I don't like, though, is always when they reveal the sleeper agent before the other characters know the sleeper agent, who it is. That dramatic irony, like, I understand the purpose for it. So the Teen Titans are going to meet Superboy, and they're going to think, oh, you should join our team, and then he's going to punch them all in the face. But I already know that he's going to do that. And I don't want to wait six issues to anticipate getting
all of
there.
A sudden you'll see him in the background smoking a cigarette with somebody and you'll know he's a bad guy.
Right, exactly, maybe he'll be wearing a leather jacket and I think he's edgy.
Nice. He has to have a goatee.
Will he be smoking a cigarette with Rose?
Oh, well, that would be ironic, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Ravager, is that her
Ravager.
Name?
Ravager.
Yeah. Well, they did finally bring out Fairchild.
They sure did.
Which was cool.
Yes.
Will he use Fairchild?
The redhead.
The redhead.
She's the chick from Gen 13?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she kind of handed him his
So that was kind of cool. That was like, okay, they've definitely... They're no longer, no longer pussyfooting around. So I was panicking.
Right.
So they came out and said that is who she is.
Yes,
so.
Which I thought was cool.
Can I try to make it so nobody ever has to read Wolverine the Best There Is?
You know, I like that first story arc only because it was weird. I read
Still
the first
go.
Issue and went, this is the worst book I have ever read in my life. So when number two came out, of course I read it. Uh-huh. I actually kind of enjoyed it. But as soon as that story arc ended, the next issue came out and I just went, you know what?
End.
I don't care. And that's what I'm hearing now, that it didn't end.
Yeah,
it never ended.
That first issue.
11 issues into it and no ground has been made.
Okay.
That first issue was like, hey, I'm Wolverine. I got drunk, went to a party, and cut some hair with my blade.
And at the end, I'm stabbing myself in the stomach. And you're like, what?
Wow.
This has been a year.
He really did get drunk and cut
nonsense.
Hair with his little claws.
Yeah, that was possibly the worst first issue I've ever read.
This book is staying and DeKen is going away?
Yeah.
I read another comic the other night that I liked a lot, and I know we already talked about Justice League, but I got a Justice League comic and a box of Cheerios from their promotion.
Those are the best.
I enjoyed that Justice League book more than the past three issues of Geoff Johns' Justice League. And it was written by Scott Beatty, so I was like, okay, I know this guy. He did Robin Year One and with Chuck Dixon. And it was just a fun Justice League story of them fighting Shaggy Man.
And, which continuity?
I don't know. I'm going to say serial continuity because they're all wearing the old costumes.
Earth C.
Yeah, exactly.
Earth General Mills.
Part of a balanced multiverse. They're all wearing the old costumes.
We're on fire tonight.
Yes, we are. They're all wearing the old costumes, and Shaggy Man looked like, you know, Silver Age Shaggy Man, and they even talked to the...
Who is Shaggy Man? Is that Scooby's bud?
Shaggy Man, he's like the Hulk, basically, but he's big and furry, and he kind of looks like a...
So, like, Bigfoot old Abomination?
Yeah, kind of. So,
it looks like Yeti.
He's just kind of indestructible and unstoppable. But, I mean, the art wasn't great, but it was a fun book. I mean, a lot happened in the course of the book. I was like, oh, so I don't have to wait six issues to read to find out what they do with Shaggy Man.
Full size?
Like, no, it wasn't. It was kind of a tiny little trim size. Like,
But how did you like the... when they teamed up with... what's his name? Subway.
Oh, I didn't care about those.
Jason Strahler.
And what was the backup in all the Marvel books? Some Christmas type story. I didn't read.
Oh, I just downloaded that for free. Yeah. No, it's much to Nick's chagrin. I took those Subway comics out of my comics and made them unmint. I'm sorry, dude.
Are you gonna get the trade when it comes out?
I will burn the trade. When it comes out. I'm gonna go to Subway and buy a sandwich. Do you want this Justice League comic book? No, I don't. Keep it, please.
If you get another box of Cheerios, can you give me the comic? Because I really don't like Cheerios.
I can bring it in sometime. You can read it.
All right.
Do they still make Frosted Cheerios?
The book was good, but
yeah, dude, it was
Cheerios.
It was a box of Honey Nut Cheerios.
I might actually go get a box of Cheerios.
How were they?
Oh, they were delicious.
How about? Do they still make Frosted Cheerios?
I don't know.
I think they do, yeah.
Oh, let's talk about Cheerios more.
Okay. Let's not.
They have a chocolate one, too.
Okay,
I think Spider-Man was eating that in the last issue of Avengers.
Okay, stop. No, the Hulk was eating a bowl of something in the last issue, although the spoon was as big as his head.
That was Wheaties.
Oh, Wheaties, okay. Okay, enough cereal. Just to throw in my always comment, the last issue of The Boys and the last issue of the Butcher Baker Candlestick Maker miniseries were fantastic.
I had a dream that you were yelling at me to read The Boys.
Your dream was correct.
I woke up and thought, even Colin's dream self hates me for not reading The Boys.
Oh, it's been so good.
Really?
Yes.
That book has been tailing off since...
No. No. These
what
last
was the big
sescapade
on the island?
Herogasm. No, these last issues. Did you read the last one?
Read it just for
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, come on. The
Dude,
last
I,
one of each
ask
was good.
Me afterwards. That's funny.
I stopped reading The Boys for free. Kevin's...
Okay.
Them a while ago.
The last issues were great.
I did like the Highland Laurie, Highland, what's his name?
Laddie.
Laddie, that miniseries was interesting.
This Butcher one was great.
The transvestite with a gas mask, I mean, where does Garth Ennis come up with this stuff? I mean, he must be doing Special K with Morrison and Ellis. They must just sit around over in England doing ketamine and stuff. I don't...
Scotland.
Scotland?
Yeah, they're Scottish.
Who's Scottish?
Morrison.
Both.
And all of them? Yeah.
I thought Ellis was British.
Ellis is British, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
But Morrison and, Garth Ennis are both Scottish.
Well, they're all on the same continent, so they can work it
they're
out.
Islands.
They're
trains.
Islands.
Yeah.
So
there's trains. They go underwater.
They also have submarines.
Geography.
Boats. They have the Quinjet.
So they're also on the X-Men team and Avengers,
right? Yeah, right.
By your standards, yes.
So, Colin, what kind of DC news were we going to talk about?
I was going to finish with that, because I wanted to finish with on a positive. So
all right,
gonna,
what kind of Marvel
that.
News were we talking about?
Well, one thing I want to talk has been, notice we...
bad segue here.
Bad, yeah, well, you did a nice job there. The cancellations recently, just troubling for me, just in, I understand cutting dead weight, I understand cutting things like that. Books that aren't selling well, that's fine. It's just what some of the books that they've canceled are. They're only female lead book. They're only... non-straight book.
Quit buying into the internet.
No, no. Also, they're only African American characters. It's just interesting that they're cutting all these.
They just made Storm an Avenger. Like, it's a female black chick. I mean, what more?
But you like the book, so you're happy Black Panther's gone. Okay, good.
No, I'm not happy.
Is that how they're going to promote the book?
No, I just. Just my problem is just now we're adding another Wolverine book.
I'm sad because it's a good book.
Yeah. But it just, and the other thing that concerns me is they've canceled two series before they've even started, like the Doctor Doom one.
Yes. Did you notice they were all tied to that Axel Alonso?
No, he's the editor in chief.
No, not him. There was that guy, Alejandro Bond, when they fired him, or he resigned, whatever happened. Hmm. He was the editor on Iron Man 2-0, which canceled. He was the editor on that Doom story, and he was the editor on the Winter Squad thing, the All Winter Squad that they canceled midstream,
right?
And one other book that got canceled.
Okay,
and it was—I mean, they announced within 2 weeks of him getting fired.
But my concern when seeing stuff that's just about to ship is this editorial decisions, or is this something coming from higher, from up above? Is Disney getting involved, or is The Beat and Bleeding Cool both did big articles about
because Rich Johnson,
Isaac Perlmutter taking charge and nickel and diming it. And my concern is just that they're getting rid of these fringe books that maybe not the best-selling books, but have their niche markets and have their fan base, and cutting those books off so that we can have, you know, another Avengers book coming out and another Wolverine book and more X
books.
This Wolverine Alpha and Omega by Brian Wood.
That's a mini, though.
Right, but it's another Wolverine book where you've gotten rid of, you know, two other Wolverine books, you know, that were different characters.
So here's my question. Right, we have X-23, Decan, right? They're selling these numbers.
Right.
Are they paying for the creative talent to sell them?
Get that, I don't know.
I mean, in my mind, that's why you canceled.
But is a random Secret Avengers book paying for Warren Ellis, who you have to assume is making more than the person writing X-23 or DeCan is? You know, so...
I don't know.
I don't know either, and we're not going to know. But my concern is that they're getting rid of all their books that have more of a unique voice, and we're just seeing more of the same.
Well, Uncanny X-Force has a unique voice.
Sure.
That's an X book.
But I'm just saying, you've gotten rid of a Black Panther. You've gotten rid of the female lead.
Ghost Rider's canceled.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
But that
was going to be a miniseries.
These are fringe characters that some people are interested in, but they're not the big names. You know, it's not an Avengers. It's not a Captain America. It's not Spider-Man.
And I know this is unpopular, and I think Sean agrees with me. I think these characters should just get rotating miniseries every once in a while. Like, hey, you know what? We haven't told a Ms. Marvel story in a while.
That's fine. I have no problem. That's great.
Ms. Marvel story.
That's fine. But let's not have...
getting canceled, the characters in them are much better as in a team book than trying to carry a book solo.
And
so I have no problem with them being canceled.
That whole heat, gay lover, stabby shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
But my problem is, when I'm seeing this, but then I'm also seeing five Captain America minis on the shelf at one time.
Right.
Things like that. Did we, you know...
Captain America was a solid book. I mean, that was...
Was it?
America Dream and some...
Yeah.
Being sarcastic.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of balance. It's just all of a sudden, and just a swath every day we're seeing, you know, more cancellation. And it's just, it's raising a red flag, just going, is something...
But,
going on that we don't know.
But I think it is. I think we saw DC put the flag up earlier this year. I think that's Warner Brothers stepping in saying, do something.
Could be.
And I think now Disney is responding to that and saying, all right, where are we at comparatively? And they're starting, and I think they're seeing the sales numbers and getting scared. I don't think they should be, but I think that's what's happening.
But from what we know now, though, I mean, it's not... I'm not sure what their reaction is or what their plan is, because right now their plan just seems to be, let's cut some dead weight, but...
It's more than that.
How so?
Well, it's also, if a book's doing well, make more issues of it.
Well, yeah.
That's
like
the other half of it.
They're double shipping. But I'm wondering how that's going to carry over.
It's,
you know?
It's give people more of what they actually want to buy.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But and I'm okay with that as long as they don't water the book down.
But I think they're going to have to.
Ultimate Spider-Man did that for years.
Yeah, but creative. Yeah. But they had with rotating creative teams. Yeah.
But to be
Ultimate
honest,
Spider-Man did that with other books too. Then.
To be honest,
that's what they're doing. In February, all their books are getting double shipped. So you're getting multiple creative teams doing. But are you going to be
at work for Spider-Man?
Right, but can you afford to double your what you're going to spend in February? Because you're going to get two copies of every one of your books.
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah.
Without dropping any.
Yeah.
You're going to, for from now on, you're going to get spend twice as much.
I have no problem with that if it's something I actually like.
Okay. I think Simon would have to go.
That's what I think. I think most people can't go, I spend $50 a month, all of a sudden I can spend $100
a month. Yeah, I would say most people. I think most people are in it to win it.
Well, at that point, I'm just going to start dropping some of my DC books. So
there it is.
Yeah. All I know is that when I read that they canceled Black Panther, I was pretty sure I heard Jeremy's groan of regret.
Yeah. Oh, you heard mine, too. I was very, I was in such shock that I immediately, tweeted David Liss, was like, please tell me this is not true.
Yeah. He's the only resource but I bought the first trade off of Jeremy's suggestion, and it was great.
And then DeCan, and I heard Joe go, no, in the background.
Well, Cam McCauley's on Spider-Man now.
Oh, yeah.
Friend of the podcast.
He'll get his fix somewhere.
Step it up, people.
Wow. But no,
Where's that gorilla?
Gorilla Bob?
Gorilla Bob?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
But my other concern is we're going to end up with another Deadpool situation.
Right.
Where with one Deadpool book is great, four Deadpool is better, and now total sales of Deadpool ended up being less than what it was for the one book, for all the books combined. And I don't want to get that where, okay, we're going to get eight Wolverine books because it's selling well. We're going to get four more Avengers books because it's selling well. And they're all going to dilute.
So what I've seen so far is we're double shipping existing books.
Right.
So if you told me New Avengers was going to be Bendis and Deodato in the first half of the month and Bendis and somebody else in the second half of the month, I'm okay with that. Now, if you said it was Bendis, Deodato, and Silvestri and six other people on a book...
Well, who knows? Because they have a hard time hitting a monthly schedule.
But what I read was it was going to be the same writing team with rotating art teams. So
right,
like
but can writers
half,
write two issues a month?
Yeah, why not?
See, I can't speak for the Avengers books because I don't get any of them. But like the X-Men stuff, not excluding the multiple Wolverine books, but just the X-Men books, they all have their own voice. Mm-hmm. So there's a place for each of them.
I have
no problem with that.
I think the Wolverine books have their own voice. The best there is a voice of Suck. And there's the Wolverine loner brooding book, and then there's the Wolverine I'm teaching a school, and then there's the Wolverine I'm a killer.
And now there's no longer I'm the Wolverine where I hate my dad and the Wolverine where I have breasts.
There you go.
Exactly.
And, I mean, we keep beating on Wolverine, but we have Batman, I'm a detective, we have Batman, I'm a Batman, we have a Batman, I'm a father, we have Batman, I don't know what I am.
Right.
I mean, we've got 16 Batman books, and we've got 16 Wolverine
books.
You don't
have 16
books.
Batman books.
I mean, but there's like 10 Batman.
There's four Batman books.
There's 10 in the family.
Like, that's the only
Yeah, but you can't consider Batgirl the same as a Wolverine book.
Bat on the cover.
There's four Batman.
Everything he appears in, which is Batgirl, Nightwing.
What about crossovers? What if he appears in Superman?
Oh, no, don't learn about crossovers. DC lied to me about crossovers.
Oh, I think
guest appearances.
I think what Marvel's doing is a very practical way to increase sales. Rather than doing a huge, flashy relaunch like DC did and saying, we're going to launch 52 new books, they're just going to say, here's the books that are not selling, we're going to cut those. Here's the books that are selling, we'll double ship those. Plus, they've been doing that thing that you talked about where all of a sudden they'll just double your order the month before the books come in, and you'll have a massive stack of books to sell. So to them, or at least on the sales charts, which some people think are reliable, some people think aren't, on the charts it looks like they sold a whole lot of copies, especially with this double ship month that we're talking about. You know, that's double the books for whatever those books are. So,
But is it really double? Because we're not going to have X-23 anymore, but we're going to have two Avengers. We're not going to have Deken, but we're going to have two new Avengers.
They've canceled what is it, 4 or 5 books?
Well, there are like 10. But, more than that,
yeah. Okay, well, how many books are getting 2 issues in February? All of them?
I didn't count.
I bet you it balances. Well, yeah, that's close.
It either balances or they're getting it like is, one or two extra
they,
on it.
They were saying that there's more than that, 15 or 20. And, yeah. And
Venom counts for 6 of 3.
Yeah, it's
yeah, that yeah. Venom mini event with 13.1234. 5.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do at the point.
It's 5 weeks. You get 5 Venoms.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't.
Now, thinking about this from a business background, I think what Marvel's doing is cutting dead weight, and they're treading water until they can figure out their strategy.
Okay.
That's what I see. Is I think this double shipping stuff is, let's put product out there until we can figure out how we want to move forward.
See, I think it's being able to have a market share that's larger and doing something that right now DC can't do. With the new 52, the way it is and the way it's starting, I don't think they can put out 2 issues of any book a month. I don't think they're ready for it.
No.
So Marvel's saying we've got some proven commodities because we've got more than 3 months of, you know, readers on these books. Let's beat them in a game that they can't compete in.
Well, and I think it's kind of like, and I hate to use this analogy, but I can't think of a better one, is like DC's taking like the broad spectrum antibiotic approach where like, it's kind of like a whole, we'll attack 25 viruses, whereas Marvel's saying we're going to use a very focused antibiotic that treats 5 things, right? DC's got 52 books with different voices and different subject matters, and I think Marvel's going more of, let's focus on our core competencies, Avengers, X titles, Spider-Man.
But it looks like what DC's trying to do is they're trying to bring in new readers, and Marvel's trying to hold on to current ones.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And that's
even
it.
Though, even though, you know, people, you know, talk about the continuity and stuff with Marvel and the X-Men books and this stuff, you can realistically pick up any of the X books and just read it. You don't have to read every single one to understand what's going on.
No, my problem with the X books is similar to what my problem with the Legion books are.
You don't have to read every single one.
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
You kind of... Well, like right now, they introduced the Dark Avengers and New Avengers, but now it's going to be taking place in Avengers. So, it, you know,
I think it's helpful, but I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary.
But my problem with the X books is the same with Legion books. There's so much history there that it's hard to follow.
Like, and a lot of it isn't explained. Like
they just make assumptions that you know, and that's
you guys know who Joseph is, right?
Right. Yeah. People don't know who Joseph is, who Quentin Quire is, you know, things like that. If you don't know who they are.
And
but see, I didn't know who Quentin Quire was whenever
neither
they.
Neither do I.
Because I didn't really read most of the Morrison run because I didn't like it. But I didn't know who he was, and it didn't affect my reading at all. I enjoyed it.
But you're an experienced reader because when I first started reading X books, when I first got back into it, I hadn't read X books in 20 years. I struggled because I was like, oh, well, who's that? I got to go figure out who that is. And I couldn't just accept that character, like, in that situation. Like, now I can. Like, Quentin Quire, I didn't even know he existed in Morrison's run until you just said it. Yeah. Whatever, that's cool.
Well, the only reason I knew he was from Morrison's run was Colin.
No, I had no idea who he was. I still have no idea who he is.
He's
a pink-haired guy with an Omega on his shirt.
It was some three-way cross between me and Nick and Jeremy.
Okay.
Don't think about it like that, man.
I don't think it's three-way from dude, Twitter. Sorry.
Yes, anyway. I agree with you on the Legion thing, though, with X-Men, I mean. But just in general with Marvel's sales plan, it seems like what you were saying, you know, they're cutting the dead weight, but they're giving people more of what they already like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I was getting 2 Batman books a month, I would totally make room for it in my budget/schedule.
Yeah.
Because I like getting comics on a more than once a month basis. I like when DC does their, you know, bi-monthly series, or not their bi-monthly, you know, every 2 weeks series, yeah, bi-weekly series and weekly series. I mean, if I was buying single issues when 52 was coming out, I'd probably be happier than anything.
Okay. Yeah, I was just concerned when I realized you guys were going to have to spend twice as much and that you'd start dropping things.
It's good if it's something I really like.
But that's the problem for me because I have to order them like you're not going to drop anything.
Right, exactly.
If it's a book, you know, that I'm really enjoying and it's coming out twice in a month and stuff and I really need to cancel something, I'll cancel an auxiliary title that, you know, has no ties to the main stuff I'm reading.
Yeah, that's going to limit things that I get anyway that are on the fence if I'm making room for 2 of something else.
But if I do that, I usually end up getting it on the trade, so.
Right.
I see what Marvel's doing. The only fear I have about it is is that it just doesn't seem like it has any growth potential. It's purely based on a model of retention. True. As the focus, and DC is all about, in this current push, and I think they're both coming from the same place and why they're doing it, but DC's is more of a long game where they're trying to expand their reader base and not just retain.
Do you think Marvel's trying to leech on to the expanded reading base of DC? Like,
not really.
Like, there's new faces in the store. I recognize Spider-Man from when I was a kid. Let's pick up Spider-Man with my Batman books.
Well, see, I honestly think that sort of what you said before, Matt, I think what Marvel's going to do is they're going to sort of tread water here. Let's give customers more of what they're already liking and enjoying and see how the whole DC thing plays out in 6 months to a year. And then go, okay, it's still going good for them. Now we're going to have to do something. At that point, if it's, you know, DC's numbers are starting to fall again, you know, maybe we can do something a little different.
I think something's going on in Marvel. I really think.
I think something's going on behind the scenes.
I think Disney's
something has
coming
happened.
In or something's going
Some
on there.
Edict has come down.
Because, I mean, they've laid off a lot of people. They fired a well-known editor. They're cutting titles.
Well, like
and that's all part of business.
Like the one article online that was on there today said was basically what they seem to be doing is they're just they're trying to firm up their money.
But I think their long-term strategy here is repositioning themselves in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Like, take this big bloated animal with all these fringe titles, focus it down, do what we do well until we figure out where we want to be, and then come back out of that. And you see that in a lot of... But how it's going to affect you as a retailer, I have no idea. They should make stuff returnable.
That's my concern when I have to start doubling my orders on things.
Doubling my Marvel money.
But here's
the problem with that, even though, say Sean reads Avengers religiously, now he's buying two Avengers titles, but he cuts Grifter.
Mm-hmm.
Making Avengers returnable doesn't help you.
No.
Because now you got extra Grifter sitting there because he is buying Avengers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's no good solution for you other than to...
Just seems an odd way... I still remember when Joe Quesada scared me to death when he said no one ever said the books had to be monthly. Going, whoa, no, you set up this system. And the system is designed for, you know, each issue a month, and
right.
You as readers come in
it's
and, you get it. All of a sudden when you're changing that system around.
You're defining period there. Periodical just means on a regular basis.
Well, but usually in the back of a periodical, on the fine print, usually on the back page.
The indicia.
Yes.
That's a call-in term, man. I didn't know.
See, here in the back of this issue of Legion of Superheroes, this is, Legion of Superheroes 3, January 2012, published monthly, DC Comics, whatever. Annual subscription rate, 12 issues.
It says published monthly?
Yes, it's published monthly by DC Comics. Annual subscription rate, 12 issues. Now, does that little fine print exist in a Marvel comic, too, or not? But, I mean, if I were to look at that and say, and it says, 12 issues published monthly, then I would expect my book to come every month. I wouldn't expect it to be late. I would be upset if it was late.
You have high expectations.
Right. But the publisher has every right to change it if they want.
I know. But, I mean, if Entertainment Weekly can be, 40 times as thick as any of these comic books and come out weekly without fail, why can't these books come out? Because
these books have more creativity than Entertainment Weekly. Entertainment Weekly is a bunch of pictures and articles about Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
And
half the articles
are sex
Entertainment
habits.
Weekly I could write in 10 minutes.
We're doing apples. Okay, listen, I don't read a lot of Entertainment Weekly, and opinions of Entertainment Weekly notwithstanding, we're doing apples and oranges here. I mean, this is
art
of journalism, but the amount of work, the amount of people that work on an issue of Entertainment Weekly, I would say is probably more than double the amount of people that work on an issue of a comic book. I mean, you've got the artist and the writer, the colorist, the inker, the letterer. Plus, you've got editors, you've got people who review it, you've got people who put it together,
Is this
printed.
Podcast sponsored by Entertainment Weekly?
I know.
This is great.
I'm sorry. It was an example. I'm sorry. It's something else you like.
What about People Magazine?
So let's talk about Cheerios.
Oh, for God's sake.
For the record, it does say published monthly by Marvel Worldwide Incorporated.
Well, there you go.
At least this is Alpha Flight. I don't know what...
Well, it's Alpha Flight? Well, it's not monthly anymore. Yeah. That is published 8 times ever, and that's it.
But it was monthly for those 8 times.
Not anymore. They went back and retconned the publishing schedule.
Did they?
Yeah, it's an 8...
Was it an LOD writing the schedule?
Probably. Well, no, isn't that the series where they said it was going to be a mini?
And it was an ongoing, then it was a mini, then it was an ongoing, then it was a mini.
There you go.
Or, I don't, was that right, Nick?
Yeah, it was an ongoing, then a mini, then an on, yeah. then an ongoing, then a mini.
I promise I'll stop dropping brand names now, I'm sorry.
Just some good buzz marketing. I like it.
Oh, this art is.
You know, tonight's the listening, party night today.
As much money
here.
As they want to. I would have no problem with that.
Now, see, this is interesting. I'm looking at the Avengers Origin solo, whatever, single issue. Mm-hmm. Published as a one-shot by Marvel Worldwide Incorporated. So this one does not actually say monthly.
There you go. But it was publicized as a one-shot, and it's marked as such in the back.
So the real test would be to go look at, like, an issue of Powers, because that should say published. That should say published by decade.
Episode, an issue of
published
Goon.
Whenever we feel like it.
Yeah, this book comes out whenever Bendis has
right.
5 minutes free.
Is it? Where does he get that?
I don't know. The best issue of Powers, though, was the Warren Ellis ride-along issue. I don't know if
back
you guys...
Back in the Image, like, first run?
Yeah, Powers. There was an issue of Powers where... Did you ever read it?
I've never read Powers, but I know the concept. But
yeah, but Warren Ellis does a ride-along because he's studying for, like, writing a crime book.
Like, legitimately Warren Ellis in the comic?
Oh, yeah, it's like gray-haired ponytail, talking with a British accent. Like, wow. It's Bendis writing Ellis.
That's cool.
Doing a ride-along, doing research to write a comic book a comic book. I mean, it's hilarious.
That's
it's
awesome.
Just because I'm sitting there reading it, I'm like, wow, this guy, they keep calling him Warren. And he looks like Warren Ellis. And then eventually they say it, and I'm like... Hey,
what was your good news?
My good news DC was the solicits. Well, one, the solicits came out for the number sixes, and not a single one of them says final issue.
Woo.
So I think that's interesting that they haven't, you know, everything is going at,
they made it.
At least six. So
unless they
pulled
a Marvel and you cancel it without telling you.
They might.
I think they were slated from the beginning to at least go a year.
Right. No, I figured they were going to have a short leash because if something wasn't working, they had something. It's like they have this Justice Society is already in the works.
Yeah.
So I think there are books there ready to be inserted should something stumble enough, whatever their level is. I don't know what it is.
Talk
but
about a book I could care less about.
What?
JSA or 2 or
Nicola Scott.
Why? Huntress is set in Earth 2.
Awesome. Yeah.
Is it? Did they confirm that finally?
The first issue, she talks about Earth. The thing talks about Earth 2 and her being the daughter of Batman and Catwoman of Earth 2 and...
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's trippy, man.
Yeah.
That's but classic Huntress Earth 2.
The other thing
I've been reading Mr. Terrific, but in the back of those issues that came out that month, when you read them, it alludes to the fact that Mr. Terrific is going to be taking place in Earth 2 also.
Yeah, it could be, because there's nothing in there... related to anything. It's self-contained.
Right.
But the thing I liked was it had the Flashpoint trades in it. And,
oh, right. Yeah.
And each one was either four of the three-issue minis. Nice catch.
Nice catch, Ryan. You should try out for the Pirates.
Save the podcast.
Yes. But it had either four of the three-issue minis or three and two or three of the one-shots, and they were priced at $17.99. And I just thought that was great, getting 12 issues... For, you know, less than $2 a book. Yeah. The other thing that was, it was like an advance solicit for the future trades of all the new 52 books. And if there were six or seven issues, it was $14.99. And if it was eight issues, it was $16.99. And I just thought that was great pricing because, okay, I'm waiting. I don't want to read Deathstroke right now, but I'll pick up the trade when it comes out. And it's not going to be expensive. And Matt... when I had mentioned this to him, he's like, so Marvels are like that. And you look at the Marvels, and I think it was like Nemesis was four $2.99 issues, trades $19.99.
Right.
You know, and the prices of all the Marvel books are generally greater than the issues contained in them. So
those
those
are fancy hardcovers.
No, that was a paperback, yeah. But so I was really, or maybe the paperback of Nemesis was $15, but still, that's $3 more than the issues would have cost you. So I was just impressed that they're even, you know, continuing the pricing and trying to get these into people's hands. I hope Marvel follows suit and drops their prices, because I think the prices on some of their books are, you know, most of them are now up to $19.99 for like a 5-issue mini, which is just too much.
That keeps me
isn't that the first Daredevil Mark Waid hardcover is the 5 or 6 issues.
I think it's four issues, yeah.
For 24.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh.
Yeah, the pricing on it's a little off, so I was really happy when I saw that, because that's something I can order multiples of and
right.
Yeah, and move, and you know someone will take a chance on that. Where
I'd also rather always have the real deal, though, too. Like, I'd sooner go and get the back issues.
Oh, sure. But yeah, a lot of people, like Sean, is you know switching a lot of his stuff to getting the trades.
I still have room for all the monthlies.
So yeah.
Becoming concerned for myself as well.
Well, and I like trades. Trades depend on...
what storage lockers are for.
Right. Trades depend on... It depends on the book for me. Like, a lot of Vertigo stuff I like in trade because...
Oh, sure.
Some of it doesn't ship all that regularly. Or some of it's just, like, Greek Street.
Mm-hmm.
Reading that in issues, oh, it was so painful.
Yeah.
Go back and read it in one sitting. It's fantastic. Not fantastic.
The Unwritten, I think, would be impossible to read in monthly issues. The trades, even some of the trades, the first two trades were just average. The last two have been great.
So that was my good news. I just felt that was a real positive. Again, we're trying to reach these out, you know, get these first volumes out. I mean, and they've done it for years with their Vertigo. The first volumes often are $9.99 to try to, you know, to get you sucked in.
Something that I liked with the... What is that?
That's my phone.
Oh, okay. I thought there was an ice cream truck coming up the road.
Is that your Jerry Sandusky ringtone? Attracting the little boys? Call them. What's going on?
That's just so...
We can't recover from it. I don't even know. So something that I liked about the DC hardcover and softcover, you know, solicits for the new 52 books is that not all of them are 6 issues. Stuff like I think Superman is, or Action Comics is the first 8 issues.
Yeah.
There's a couple 1 through 7s in there. So I like that they're not just going to do 1 through 6 and that's standard for everything. I like that they will collect more than 6 issues if need be. Something else that I thought was cool was that they did collect issue 0 of Batwoman into the first Batwoman trade, which is good because I didn't know if they would collect that. Although I'm confused as to they'll collect Batwoman number 0, but they won't do the last 3 Detective Comics issues that Batwoman was in that totally set up why her cousin is crime fighting with her in the first place anyway. So I'm wondering if they might save those for, like, the second book or what. I have no idea. But
that's going to be in the limited edition hardcover omnibus.
Oh, right. Yeah, special bonus feature.
Yeah. It's going to be in the Blu-ray release.
Oh, for God's sake. I don't have a Blu-ray player for my comic books.
So here's an interesting question for you guys. I have a regular on Sundays comes in.
Okay.
And all of his books are ending.
Mm.
So he reads Punisher Max, Scalped, DMZ,
Deken,
no,
X-23, Ghost Rider,
Boys,
yeah.
I'm yelling at people about cell phones beforehand.
DMZ, so basically those type of books.
Right.
And DMZ is ending, Northlanders is ending, Boys is getting close to ending, Punisher Max is ending. What do I recommend? So I recommend a Blue Estate, obviously, because I think he'd like that.
He's reading, like, it's pretty gritty stuff.
Yeah.
I can't think of much of anything that I know of.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something gritty that I like. I mean, does he like Batman at all? Because, I mean, Snyder's Batman is kind of
gritty.
He
is not a superhero guy.
Not a superhero guy? Okay, well.
Just general conversation about it. Because all his books are ending.
Oh, okay.
And I was trying to think, like.
Well, there's going to, I'm sure they'll. With Vertigo,
he reads Walking
yeah.
Dead, he already reads American Vampire.
I'm sure they'll be bringing more stuff in.
Yeah, and I was just trying to think, like, I told him Blue Estate,
Green Wake. I haven't read Green Wake. I only read the first issue.
If he's looking for a graphic novel, I mean, I know it's not a monthly thing, but if he's never read History of Violence,
that'd be pretty good.
It's pretty decent.
There was another one I recommended him, and I'm totally blanking on what it was now, but it was just interesting because I was like pulling his books out this week, and I'm like, you know, this is ending. And he's like,
he just bawled.
He's like, wow, I need to find something new to read. And I'm like, yeah, well, we can work on that.
I don't know why anyone doesn't come in on any day other than Wednesday. I want to have my stuff immediately.
You know, it but there you have the people that do that, but not everybody can come on Wednesday.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's funny. I have regulars. You know, I know this guy's going to be in on Thursday. I know this guy's going to be on Friday. This guy's Saturday.
I would be there.
I used to come in monthly when I was in college. The shop I went to up there, I would come in once a month and just get this massive stack of comic books. And it was like my birthday once a month. I would, yay!
Yeah, if this guy's not here by 12:30 on a Sunday,
He's not coming.
Something's weird.
Oh, okay.
Well, he's not coming, or he went to the Steeler game or something. But
yeah, because that one Sunday I worked, he didn't come. I'm like, oh, I didn't have a chance to see him.
Yeah.
So he could complain about
it. Criminal was the other thing. Criminal was the other thing I recommended for him.
One. Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm sure Jeremy will give the thumbs up on that one.
Yeah.
Because he likes that.
And Black Panther, I was like, it's a super cool.
Oh, I forgot to say, Jeremy's on his way, or is in Indiana now, for his first married Thanksgiving with the... Well, it's not his in-law. Oh. It's his family bringing her to the in-law.
I thought you meant he moved, like, and was gone.
No. He'll be back, unlike some other people.
Yeah. Aww.
Oh,
we're so gonna miss you.
Is this somebody's last podcast again?
It is. Until again? Next week.
We're counting what, four?
Hi, everyone. This I'm is Brett like Favre. Hello.
Yeah.
This is for sure next week. I am switching shifts. I won't be here.
Okay.
I think you should just quit your job.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Well, I can see what I can do about switching shifts.
Especially like if they're making
well, don't affect
caption
your job
Oprah.
Just for us.
Yes, I know. But
especially if you have to caption Oprah, you just. You should just collect welfare. I mean, that's a fate worse than death.
They'll just say, so why can't you come to work? Well, you see, I do this podcast at a comic shop, and immediately I'll
why
just
Why air quotes?
And we talk for an hour and a half about comics?
Because no one will understand what I'm talking about. Everyone will, except for Dan. Dan will know what I'm talking about, and he'll be like, yeah. And then everyone else will just blink at me like I have 40 heads. And yeah.
Alrighty then.
Are we not recording?
I just wanted to make sure. It was one of those panic moments I have.
Oh, would that be wrong?
Yeah, that would be
wrong. There's been some classic stuff tonight.
Oh, there's been some great stuff.
Gorilla Bob eating Cheerios. And
yes.
You didn't do your other thing.
Hello!
Yay!
There you go.
How about a goodbye?
Goodbye!
Okay, we'll talk to you next week. Don't eat too much turkey.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
Hey, everybody. This is Colin. During my final edit, I figured I'd go over the Black Friday sale for you before I put it up on the website. If you've listened this long, you get a quick introduction to the special deals. First off, the DC New 52 number ones and twos I've put is half off. I have to return them if I do want to return them. I have to do it by the first week in December, so I figured I'd rather sell them to you guys and let you enjoy them rather than rip the covers off and send them back. So we'll do that. Also, I have a big selection of some Marvel hardcovers, some of the premier hardcovers they've come out with lately at 40% off. That's on a big rack next to the counter, you'll see. Also, all graphic novels and hardcovers are going to be 25% off all weekend. All statues are going to be 30% off all weekend. Those make fantastic gifts for people. Also, selected action figures are going to be half off, mostly just the older stuff. Not going to do the newest stuff that's come out. The big one I'm hoping is a big success is back issues. All back issues that are over $10 marked are going to be 50% off, and all back issues that are under $10 are going to be $1. So dig it deep. You can get nice big runs of stuff for not too much money. Magic the Gathering, all pre-Innistrad sets are going to be 25% off. All Yu-Gi-Oh! Prior to the most recent set, I don't remember its name, are going to be 25% off. And then all other card games are 25% off. All board games are going to be 25% off. And also, I just got a big selection of Marvel posters in. So all the posters that I have are going to be half off. Plus, if you buy a poster, you get a free Hitmonkey poster, courtesy of Marvel, who sent me 43 free Hitmonkey posters. So I have more than I will ever sell. So that's all I have right now. If I come up with anything else, I'll post it on the website. But that's it. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye. It was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here. I was raised in a small southern community. People used to look at me different because I looked different. But the song ain't about race, it's about lines in the sand that we draw to keep on producing any hatred. And internet culture only took away the faces for when we had to. Activity and cynicism took the world over. I rolled my back and grabbed my backpack and hold it over my shoulder. And went down to the comic book store with a copy of Me Against the World pumping. I spent my $10 and learned to love the elements that made me feel so relevant. And it's a place to feel something. And I grew up thinking one side was better. And I ignored tradition thinking half the story could shepherd me through the gateways of seeing a world that lay beyond the racks that spun at the front next to the register. And all I hear is Marvel versus DC. And all I see is a sea of people like me. And all I feel is the hate in their voices, ignoring the choices life has given you and me. And all I hear is more.
bonds the breast, the muscle bearing chest, absurd jackets and outfits, each saga and death, the funerals and the time spent with secrets comic creators kept. I was a zombie walking around in a daze. I was a fan with crises on the way, and I still remember back when mom and dad were fine. I'd read a comic and sketch to pass the day. I'm feeling better now, life is slower now, and I see that I can love it for what these pages say. And sure, at times I'm frustrated, but great writing is dope, and sick ass art can be the saving grace. And that's whether it's Green Lantern or X-Men, Ghost Rider or Next Wave, the arrangement I look through. So that's why when I rap, I try to talk about the things that bring us together the way that comic books do. And all I hear is Marvel versus DC, and all I see is a sea of people like me. And all I feel is the hate in their voices, ignoring the choices life has given you and me. And all I hear is Marvel this and DC that, and all I see is a sea of people at my back. If you're down to stop with all the naysaying, then Adam Warlock is here to keep the tape playing. There ain't a thing that I can do about this black hole. We're all swimming in a dead pool of lost souls. Got more to chew on, sorta like a mind bender. A brainiac on the mic, that's why I stopped going back to the store, cause the fans were like the walking dead. Just banshees screaming off all their talking heads. It's like they saw Spider-Man, but like Batroc. Corporations raise the price of shutting out the have-nots. And you can call them the Illuminati New World Order, made of Franken Castle like I told you. So strange, call a doctor, oh, dude, now they gotcha. Weak as Tony Stark when he's chilling out sober. I ain't no pastor. No, I can't convince you, Mr. Sinister, in your minds I can't get into. But if you wanna be a Superman, show me. Stop with all the pointless battles like Don Quixote.